Steve Givens. I'm Associate Vice Chancellor for Public Affairs. But I ran the planning for the debate in the debates in 2000 and in 2004. I was in charge of all the planning for those two debates. So in 1992, we hosted our first debate, and I don't know if you've ever heard the history behind that, but we actually hosted that one with 1 week's notice. We were not scheduled to hold the debate that year, and we hadn't even been chosen as a backup site. But for whatever reason, and I don't really remember what it was, I was here in 1992, but not really involved. Another site that the commission had chosen was not working out, and they asked if they could come to St. Louis. So we did that first one in 1992 with a week's notice, and that was, of course, the famous debate between George Herbert Walker Bush, Bill Clinton, and Ross Perot. And then in the next time the debates rolled around, they kind of said, gee, you did such a good job, we're going to choose you again. For Clinton versus Dole. And then actually that debate got, we were chosen for it, but we got canceled because the candidates could not agree on three debates, and they cut it down to two that time. We got caught in the crossfire. But then we did host presidential debates in 2000 between Gore and George W. Bush, in 2004 between John Kerry and George W. Bush, and then in 2008, we hosted the vice presidential debate between Sarah Palin and Joe Biden. So that's kind of our history.
Well, are you in reserve again this time as you were?
We are, actually. And so we have been in reserve. We're the only site that was selected as a backup site. So we've been to some of the meetings with the commission, and they've been here to check out our place, although they know us pretty well from all this time. But we do stand ready to serve, so to speak. But, so far we've heard nothing of any problems that might bring it to St. Louis, but we do stand ready.
What has the university gotten out of these debates over the last two decades?
The truth is, it's a very hard thing to kind of, you certainly can't put money on it. We spend more money than, we don't make any money off doing these things, obviously. So, certainly you get a splash of publicity the few days leading up to the debate, and the day of the debate itself, you're the center of the universe for a little bit, and that's certainly good. But it doesn't really last long. So if we were doing this only for the publicity, I think there's better ways to spend, a lot of money. So what we've always believed and what we've found to be true over the years is that it creates such a wonderful opportunity for our students to kind of be immersed in the middle of American history. And whether or not they actually get in to see the debate, they all feel like they were at the debate because they were on campus the night it happened. They saw the media that were there to cover it. They were kind of in the middle of it, and we created lots of opportunities for them to watch the debate on big screens and interact and debate and talk. And I see students now that we worked with back in 2000 or 2004. The students never forget the debate, just being a part of it, being on campus. And so I think as a university, what we've created, especially doing it a number of times as we have, is a real legacy for ourselves and for our students who were here during those times. And that's, as an educational institution, that's a pretty great legacy to have.
You know from the first one that you can turn things around pretty quickly and get ready to host one. Is it as easy to do that now as it was then, or harder?
It would be easier in the sense that we at least know what we're into this time. But harder in the fact, if you just think for a minute of how technology has changed, in 1992, there were no cell phones, there were were no internet lines. We were literally setting up banks of payphones so that reporters could, you know, rush out of the debate and call in their stories. I mean, that seems like, you know, that something that happened in the 1800s or something, but that's the way it was even in 1992. So the technology certainly has changed. On the other hand, we know what we're doing. We know what it takes to pull this off. We have great partners here in St. Louis, corporate partners who, you know, we can call and say, we need to carpet the entire gymnasium, and we need to line the walls with curtains, and we need so many chairs, and we need to build the stage, and we need to build the platforms, and they know what we need. So, you know, I'm not sure any of us wants to do it in a week, but if we had to, I think we could.
Have you formed any opinions about the value of these debates, not just to Washington University, but to the public generally? Do the public get enough out of them to really form a learned view of these candidates?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a better question for a political scientist or something, but I think whether people like them or not, it seems clear to us that people watch them. So, you know, the numbers, the viewing numbers are incredible. They're as big as anything that happens on television. And, you know, I think this is the one time, or the one time for the vice presidential candidates, or the one of three times for the presidential candidates, where the American people really get to see them standing side by side and answering the same questions, interacting with each other. We get to see, you know, how they hold up under pressure, how well they communicate, how well they're able to articulate their vision for America. I think it's still an important thing to do, and I think the university does also, or we wouldn't be involved in it, obviously. Do they have their drawbacks? They probably do. Could they be better? Yeah, they could probably be better. But for right now, I think it's what we have. It's run by a good organization that, you know, stays out of the politics, so to speak, and tries to be fair and, you know, put together an event where both sides can put their best foot forward.
Well, let's see. It's been 13 election cycles since the famous Kennedy-Nixon debates, and you folks have been involved since 1992. Have you noticed anything different about the way the candidates conduct themselves during these debates?
Yeah, I'm probably not the right one.
There's basically two guys standing there talking.
Yeah. I mean, I think some things don't change. You know, I think, you know, the technology changes, and, you know, we've seen things like, you know, people emailing in questions or YouTubing in questions and those sorts of things. That kind of stuff can change. The quality of the production can, you know, we have HD television now, and so people, they need to be very careful about what they look like on television, all those sorts of things. But they were always worried about those things. And, you know, I think when it comes down to it, this is really about, you know, the people who might be the leader, one of which is going to be the leader of our country. And it really does give the American people a chance to see them without a script, so to speak. I mean, they're coached, they're prepared, obviously, but when it comes right down to it, you know, they're live on television, and it's about as true of a way of as any of seeing these candidates, I think.
A friend of mine who worked for CBS for a number of years once described the primary system and the debate system as the world's longest job interview. That's what it really boils down
to.
Yeah,
well, sure, that's exactly right. And how'd you like to have, you know, however many million people making that decision. So, but it's an important job, obviously, and, you know, people make their decisions in lots of different ways. You know, I think some people have made up their mind and could never be swayed to change their mind because of a debate. But, you know, I think, you know, research and history shows that lots of people do watch these debates in an effort to make up their mind. There are a lot of undecided voters, and they very often can make a big difference in an election.
Now, the standard format is a media moderator and the two candidates up there, but the last two or three cycles, I think, there have been some of the town hall type things where they've had an audience of lay people who've asked the questions. Have you guys done both formats?
Yeah, we have. We have done both. I think they both work well. I mean, I think the Commission on Presidential Debates has always done a good job of choosing moderators who were fair and unbiased. And even if people might think they have biases, I think once you watch the debates, I think that they've always come across as being fair. And then the town hall meetings are, you know, there's still a moderator when you do that because someone has to take the questions and that sort of thing and choose the questions. But I think those are, you know, I think people of America, when they see a town hall type of debate, they see themselves in it perhaps a little easier than just a, you know, a broadcaster kind of thing. So I think both times are valid.
You're right. I think, as I watch the debates, I kind of like the ones that have the regular folks asking questions, because those of us who cover politics have a tendency to ask a lot of inside baseball stuff. And I think that the real people get a chance to ask the questions, and you get real people issues, more like.
Yeah.
So you guys are in a position now of just kind of waiting for the telephone to ring, and you jump if you jump if you have to.
Yeah. Again, it would be hard, you know, but it's always hard. But, you know, we, having been through this before, knowing the people that we have here at the university who have been through this before, because there's so many different aspects of this. You know, there's the purely technical facilities, you know, getting the redundant power lined up and getting the air conditioning and the AC down to 62 degrees or whatever it is that they need, and, you know, working with the Secret Service and the local police on security issues. We've got all the right people, and then most of them have been through this before. We're lucky that, you know, some of our guys have retired, moved on, but we've always involved others along the way so that they knew what to do if they were ever in charge. So we got lots of people who have been involved in these for years and know what it takes to get it done. And I have no doubt that we could pull this off if we had to.
How expensive is it to do this?
Well, I think the going rate right now is about, I think that there's a fee that you pay to the Commission on Presidential Debate to actually host the debate, and that fee covers a lot of their production costs and things like that. And that's about $1.5 million. And we've always said we've probably spent that much again just on getting the campus ready, doing all the things that we want to do to provide hospitality for the media and others who are here. Changes we might need to make to facilities. There's a lot of costs that fall to the host site to take care of. So it's, you know, it's a several million dollar venture.